Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Yud Zayin, Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin. Let's start with Pasuk Tes Zayin again. Tes Zayin is David's response to David's tefillah. This tefillah appears also in Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Zayin, the end of Perek Zayin. David's response to Nosson Hanavi's bracha, Nosson Hanavi's message from Hashem, that Hashem has selected David to be his melech, to be the melech for Klal Yisrael, and not only will the malchus, of course, not only will the malchus go to David, it will go to all of his children and descendants throughout all the generations in the future. The malchus dynasty will be established in the family of David. So David was overwhelmed with this incredible bracha, and we have to take a step back. The reason why Hashem gave him this bracha was because David wanted to do something for Hashem. He wanted to build for Hashem a Beis HaMikdash. We discussed at great length that Hashem nowhere in the Torah instructs there should be a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem only instructs there should be a Mishkan. And David said, no, I want there to be something more. I want there to be a greater degree of kavod for Hashem. I want it to be a Mikdash, and I'm going to build a Beis HaMikdash. And the time has come, and he tells this to Nosson. Nosson says, yes, it's a great idea. Nosson goes back to David later that night, and Hashem says, I'm flattered. I'm flattered that you want to build for me a Beis HaMikdash. That's such a kind thing. No one ever thought about doing this. This has never... This was not on the agenda. And in fact, I never demanded from Klal Yisrael they should build for me a Mishkan. Look at what happened the last 440 years. I went from Oel to Oel, from Mishkan to Mishkan. In the Midbar there was only a Mishkan. We never had a structure. And you want to build this magnificent palace for me? I'm flattered. And in reward for your good, your plans, I give you the blessing that the Malchus of Klal Yisrael will not just be through you, it will continue in your children forever, until the end of time. David was overwhelmed, and now David responds. Okay, this response, again, as mentioned before, appears in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel, it's a bit more elaborate, and there are shinuim. It's not exactly the same. There are different differences, nuance of expression between what it says there and what it says here. And Rabbi Eisenman, in his Sefer, the art scroll, Divrei Hayamim, has a very, very nice, very significant piece in the back of the Sefer. The Sefer, as I've told you many times, is divided into two parts. In the first half is like classical art scroll type of Sefer where they have a running commentary on the words of the Pasuk, and then they have something very unique. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, they have a section 2, which occupies half of the book, and in that section, you can call Maimorim, very deep insights, original. Many of the ideas are original. Some are taken from other sources. They're built upon found yisodos from other classical mafarshim. And there he has very, perhaps the biggest piece of the entire section, where he contrasts this tefillah, really this entire perek, with what it says in Sefer Shmuel. Both the story of Nosson, of what when Hashem tells Nosson to tell David, and David's response, his tefillah, his to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the main, his theme, which he brings out in many, many, many facets, many, many details, is the difference between Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Is in Sefer Shmuel, David is praying and is thanking Hashem on behalf of Klal Yisrael. It's not a personal. He represents the Malchus, and that's the theme. Whereas here in Sefer Divrei Hayam, David is focusing on person, on himself, on personal Shevach v'hoidah to Hashem, what he has done for him, given him personally the koyach, the ability to serve Klal Yisrael in the capacity of Melech, and bequeath this Malchus to his children and grandchildren. So, and I'll try if I can remember some of the details to show you some of the differences of words, where it's very clear that David is focusing here, there's a more personal tone to what is being said, more so than the more general theme of Malchus in the nation of Klal Yisrael. Sefer Shmuel is for the tzibur, for the klal, and Sefer Divrei Hayamim is for the prat, is for the individual. I think when you take this idea and you superimpose it upon the major theme, the difference between Sefer Divrei Hayamim and and the Sefer Nevi'im, it's that this was a motivational sefer, and Ezra and Nehemiah are trying to tell every individual, be part of it. Don't just, the Bayis Sheni is going to be built with you or without you. We have enough people that are going to participate, to come to Yerushalayim and to rebuild the city, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and to develop the land. If you don't come, life will go on. The world will continue to exist. But take advantage. It's for your own personal good that you should want to make Aliyah and participate in what's taking place. It's like today. Eretz Yisrael is here to stay. If we're not going to make Aliyah, we're going to sit in America, right? We're just going to sit around and do nothing and not participate. There'll be an Eretz Yisrael. They don't need us. They don't need us in Eretz Yisrael. They have enough people there to keep the country going, and they're populating and they're increasing more and more. So why do we need to join Eretz Yisrael? Why for us? We're not at a point, maybe you'll go back 60 years ago, they were desperate. You know, they need people on the ground. They actually went and anyone that would come, and today you want to come to Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't take an American in the army. They'll take a special, you know, they have a special training for Americans. Americans that want to come and join, okay, they'll make for them a special unit, and they'll make it easy, you know, so we can be in the Yitzhak. But would they take an American? There's these times articles in the Jewish press about the fighter jets. So today, you know, to be in the Air Force, in Eretz Yisrael, and the IDF, they would never take anyone that's not a native citizen of you know, someone that was born and bred in Eretz Yisrael. If you're an American, like you work.
They do take.
Not anymore. They used to. They have all these stories in the wars when they first established the state. They were desperate for talent, people that had skills. They would take anyone that would want to come from the United States. You have someone that would have experience in the United States Air Force.
Today,
no. Yeah. Not according to the Jewish press, what?
We call the lone soldier.
Called what?
The lone soldiers.
The lone soldiers, what?
They enlist.
America, but they don't give them the same. They don't let.
Same training,
and they take them in? Okay, well, there are certain.
They speak Hebrew, they put you into
a different unit. Okay. Okay, but the idea is, once the Eretz Yisrael has been established, now the focus is, if you don't want to come, so don't come. We don't need you. We'll survive. We'll get by. But you should want to come for your own self-interest. To be part of this renaissance. To be part of this what's happening, this event. It's for your own personal good. That really is what, if you take these two ideas and you put them together, that's really what's happening here. Sefer Shmuel, we have the same story. In Sefer Shmuel, Rabbi Eisenman says, look at the words very carefully, it's all about the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. It's not about the individual. In Sefer Shtiri Hayamim, it's about the individual, David the individual. Why is Ezra and Nehemiah rewriting the whole story and focusing on David the individual? Because this is a message, this Sefer is a motivational message to the people living in the time. Come to Eretz Yisrael and be part of it. Don't you also want to be one of those individuals who will have an experience, be part of this experience? If you don't want to be, so don't come. So we already have a Sefer, we already have the Sefer Nevi'im where we have the nation Klal Yisrael. We're here to stay, there'll be Beis HaMikdash with you, without you. But you as the Yechidim who are living in Golis, you should want to come to Eretz Yisrael to be part of this experience. And I think that's a very important thing to think about when you learn this parak, this tefillah, to put those two ideas together, what David is, what Ezra and Nehemiah are trying to say. So here we have the response.
My question may be answered by just what you're saying. It says, Vayovo and Vayesha. I don't see the reason why it's there, but it may be there because it's an individualistic thing. He can't. You could have said, by he, HaMelech David,
okay. Okay, Melech, here it says David. HaMelech, that's what we mentioned before, last week, that David is the person. It doesn't say the word Melech. It doesn't say the word David in Sefer Shmuel. There it just says, Vayevah HaMelech, the Melech came, the king, Klal Yisrael. Here it's David, the person.
No, what I'm saying, vayavo, to come, is that...
Okay, right, a person, right, okay. So let's go further. We really did this pasuk last week, so we're just going to run through just as a hagdam, to get into the entire tefillah. Vayavo ha-melech tov v'yesh lefnei Hashem, v'yemer mi ani, who am I? Mi ani Hashem Elokim Elmi Veisi, who is my family? Ki havi oisani ad halem, you have brought me this far. Okay, right. Okay, pasuk yud zayin vatiktan zos beinecha. So then David goes on to say that not only is it have, you know, the Bible. I just want to point out that the translation, the grammar of the psukim until the end of this paragraph is very difficult. It's not your typical psukim. The words don't flow well. It's a very hard translation for these psukim. David now says, "Vatiktan zos beinecha." It was small in your eyes. Not only when you do someone a favor, so if you want to do them a big favor, so to give them $1 million, oh, that's nothing. Like that's a small thing. I have in store for you much bigger things. I'm going to give you a whole, make you the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar institution, just to give you as a bonus, a sign-up bonus, $1 million. That's bubkis. Some people, their whole life, they won't make $1 million. It's a sign-up bonus, $1 million. And that's nothing. That's nothing. I'm making you the CEO of this multi-billion-dollar corporation, and you're going to have a salary every single year of $50 million. So David says, you gave me malchus. You made me the melech. That's $1 million. That's everything. And then David says, but in Hashem, in your eyes, you gave me so much more that being melech is small, was nothing to you. It was just a sign-up bonus to make me melech. What's the big thing? The big thing is my children. The fascinating Musar Haskel in life is that you, relative to your children, is small, is petty. That's what David says. You've done for me two things. You've made me the melech. Wow, I'm the melech. How long will I be melech for? Another how many more years? 40 years. How many more years until the dove is melech for?
With 33 and 7.
33 and 7 for 40 years. Okay, you know, 40 years goes by very quickly. That's nothing. What is the big news? My son, my grandson, my great-grandson. That the malchus will be established in my family forever. And that's the Musar Haskel left, that a person should think that what he has for himself is small relative in what he's trying to accomplish for his children. Vatiktan zos beinech Elokim, this that you've given me, that you've made me melech, is small in your eyes, because what you have done that is large, the real gift that you've given me, vatedaber al beis avdecha, you've spoken about my family, my bias, my descendants, l'nei rachok, in the distance. What's the distance? The distance is children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, distance in time. Okay, there are many interpretations. I'll right away tell you that I don't have it in front of me. I do have the Targum says, this is very interesting. The Targum on this pasuk Lime Rachok says, "V'havas kalila da kadamach Hashem Elokim u'me lalta al beis avdach." You spoke le'olma de'ose olam haba. Okay, olam haba. So how do you translate the word Lime Rachok? Either it means in distance in time, and time referring to future generations, or the Targum says, L'meirachok means far away, Olam Haba, Nitzchias, this world is only temporary, Olam Haba is permanent. Vat Zaber al Beis Avdecho L'meirachok, in distance, Vat U'isani, you have viewed me as Kisor Ho'odom Hama'ala. Hashem, you have to put these words at the beginning of the pasuk. You, Hashem Elokim. So read the words, Urisani Hashem Elokim. Just take the word Hashem Elokim and put it at the beginning of the pasuk to make sense of the pasuk. You, Hashem Elokim, have seen me as a Torah Ha'adam, a Torah Ha'adam, Hamala, of great stature. Now, what does this unusual word kisar mean? So let's look right away at the Mitzudos Tzion. For one thing, this is a very important word, and you'll see why I'm going to emphasize this so much. Pasuk Yitzayin, kisar, inyan tuchuna. Tuchuna means nature. A person's nature. The toyar, an appearance, stature. V'chenavu l'chayayich ba'toyrim. What does it mean in the pasuk in Shir Hashirim Ba'toyrim? Tor means a necklace. Shehem hapnimim, hapninim, pearls. Hamesudarim b'toyar, which are arranged in toyar beauty. Uvitechunu yofa, and a beautiful nature. Okay, so let's see the Mitzudos David, and then we'll explain this in more detail, and then we'll see some other things. Mitzudos David, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vatiktan, we mentioned before, Hachesed Hazehi Oid Ketan Beinecha, this kindness that you have installed me as a king was small in your eyes, Hashem, because you've done for me even a greater kindness, a much greater kindness, by granting the malchus to my children. Ad shedibarta al beis avdecho l'mei rechok ratzalaymar. How does the Mitzudos translate the word l'mei rechok? L'hadoyrois ho'asidim. The future generations beseis ha'malchus l'zari adalam, by granting the malchus to my descendants forever. Uri isani, re'isa usi, you have viewed me. V'achshiveni, to give me stature, to give me to importance. Kitechunas, kitechunas means nature. A good person has a good nature. The toyar, an appearance, form. Ha'odam godol hamalo, a great person. You viewed me to have the nature, the characteristics, the personality, the charisma, the stature of a great person. Everyone in their life knows, looks up to certain people who they consider to be, oh, this is a great person. A person of integrity, a person of stature, a person of honesty, all the different milas. So David is saying that from what you have done to me, Hashem, by granting the malchus to me and my descendants, you have shown the world that you view me to be a person of great stature. And I am humbled. I am humbled by that a realization that you view me to be what I am not. I mean, he says, very David over here in his humility is saying, I'm nothing special, and what you've given me belongs to someone that's truly very great, and by giving it to me, you've really shown that that's what you hold of me. Af im shani pochus v'nivze, even though I consider myself to be a low, simple, humble person, and look what you have done. Okay, now here we have this very powerful word of Torah. Let's see Rashi first, Pasuk Yitzayin. Rashi vatikdan zois beinecha shenasat li hamalchus. This that you've granted me the malchus in your eyes, Hashem, was just a sign of bonus, was something very small, because relative to what you, the great kindness that you've granted me, that you've granted the malchus to my children, l'meirachok shehemadut es malchusi li'itim rechokim. You've established my malchus for future generations, times that are distant in the future. Shamarta v'hamadetiu b'veisi uv'malchusi adolam, that the malchus will be established forever. And don't look at what Hashem gives you, that the person should view himself small, petty, relative to what you're planning for your children. U'isani kitor ha'odam hama'ala. Now what is the word kitor? Shehish v'isani, you have set me. V'choyshavtani, you have positioned me. Two words which mean almost the same thing. B'shurois ha'gedoylim. Tor, according to Rashi, means a row. Not like the Mitzudos. It's a whole different translation. Like a row. What does that mean, a row? Kiloy. My Rashi acknowledges that the word row, you have a row of bricks. A row of bricks. What? What does a row of bricks have to do with this very difficult statement that Hashem, you have viewed me to be Kitor Ha'odom Hama'ala Kiloymar Koton Ho'yisi. I'm a small fry. And v'hoishavtani, you have positioned me b'shurois among the dais. Like you go to an event, like you look in the newspaper, and you always have a dais. Right? There's always a dais by an event. B'shurois nedivei amcha, among the Nedivim, the leaders, the great people of your nation, Shamar to live your si salucha shem gadol keshem hagidolim. According to Rashi, this refers back to the bracha that Hashem gave David, that I will make you like the shame, I'll make your name like the name of the gidolim. Rashi had two interpretations. One interpretation was, maybe it was the Mitzudos. The first interpretation was Shem HaGedolim means the great people of the world. There are people out there in the world who are Choshev, who are, when people walk in, they take note. They have a whole entourage. The media, the press follows them around wherever they go. It must be, you know, they're not following me around. It must be that these are important people. If the press follows them around, these are the Gedolim. And therefore, Dov Hashem, I'm going to make you like one of the great people in the world where you're going to get a lot of attention. Then we had the other interpretation from Chazal, that Gedolim does not necessarily mean people living today. It means the great of the past. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And just like we say, Baruch Alokei Avraham, Alokei Yitzchak, Alokei Yaakov, Baruch Ato Hashem, Magen Avraham, we conclude Baruch Ato Hashem, Magen David. David's going to be one of the Yishpizim. Right, he's going to be from the Yishpizim on Sukkis. There's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, and Aaron, and then there's going to be David. David's also going to be Keshem HaGedolim. That's what Chazal interpreted means, Keshem HaGedolim. Okay, Nan Rashi just comes to back up. So that's what means Ketor. Ketor means a row of Hashim. So remember, I once went to a. Years ago, the Dafi, they do this very rarely, but I don't go anymore. But the Agudas Yisrael used to sponsor a convention for Magidim of the Daf Yomi. So the first one was very, very nice. The first time they made a convention. Only Magidim, only one that's invited to come, people who give a shir. Only if you give a shir for Daf Yomi can you come, you get this personal invitation, you come, and they're going to whatever, different, just I don't know, the Divrei Torah, Chizuk, talk, ideas, brainstorm. It was a very nice thing. So the chairman of this event got up and he said, you know, I work for the Aguda and we do events every day. Literally every day we're doing events, we're doing all these things for the Aguda, and every single event, b'li yoytze min haklal, we have a dais. We have, that's the Aguda, machshev, the bo'etzes, kedele, yishol, tar, there's always a dais. Dais. And we have the Rosh Yeshiva, we have the panelists, we have the people that are in charge. This is the only event we've ever done where there's no dais. Because in this room, everyone is a Magid Shir. How can we go and make a dais? Everyone belongs on the dais. So this is the only event we're going to have where there's no dais. Everyone is the same. So David over here is saying, I mean, there was a Shir, it was interesting. The first one was very nice.
Say, not to mention, everybody had to have substitutes.
They had put it on tape.
The later ones, it was interesting. Right. So we have your Kitar here. So according to Rashi, means a row. Rashi, what?
You wouldn't know saying later on.
Whatever. Petered
out.
Not petered out. It was different. It was very different. No, they did. Well, they did. You should know they did. It's a good thing. It's something you meant. They did have a dais. At I remember the third one. The second one was even nicer. The third one, there was a dais. Yeah, there was a dais. The fourth one, I think there were a total of four. The fourth one, I didn't go to. Okay, let's see. Qatar. Maybe there wasn't a fourth one. I don't remember. All right, Qatar. So look at this Rashi. Rashi Qatar means Pisron Shura. A row, the digma rosh tur yarok. If you learn Masechta Klaim, the Gemara brings out this mission many times. A row of vegetables. What is the distance you must separate two rows of different meaning? It should not be a prohibition of kilai. Okay, so this is a very important term. We have to really bang it over and over. These words here. Because I want to contrast what it says in Sefer Shmuel and bring out and really focus on what the Mitzudas and the Radak say. But according to Rashi, Urisani, you have viewed me as being Kisor Ha'odom Hamala, like a great person. It's an expression. It's really very hard to literally translate these words. Mala means esteemed, stature. Kitar means who sits at the front row, like a person of stature who sits on the dais. That's really what Rashi is saying. A person of stature who sits on the shura, in the row of people of the Gedolim. The Mitzudos disagrees, as we mentioned. The Radak says the same thing. The Mitzudos says, Kesar means nature. So Sar is connected to the word Hama'aloh. A person that has an exalted personality, nature. Now, what is nature? So this is what they explain in the Art Scroll. Nature means, when a person, what makes a person's nature, his personality? It's a combination of many, how all of his characteristics, all of his emotions, his beliefs, his ideals interact. A person has a set of values. That's one. A person is a very complicated person. They are beside all the things which are in a person's mind. He has values. He has a chinuch. He has what his rebbeim taught him, and then he has a certain disposition to get angry or to be happy or to argue or to make peace, or how he laughs, how he talks, his expression. And what makes a person is how all of these things combine, how they synthesize, how they integrate, that makes the person. So sometimes if a person has a lot of good milas, he has a lot of, but he's ignorant. He doesn't have the background, he doesn't have an upbringing where he has the information to make it. Sometimes the person has a very good chinuch, but he just doesn't have a good personality. He gets angry, he's always in too much of a good mood, he's not in a good mood, he's depressed, he's very stingy, he's too generous. What makes a person great is where everything synthesizes, everything comes together in a beautiful way. That's why the Mitzvahs focus on the word a necklace. On a necklace is inyan novu lechayayich batrim. Your cheeks are beautiful, batrim with pearls. Now with a necklace, a tour is literally a necklace. It's a necklace. What is the beauty of a necklace? The beauty of a necklace is all the different pearls are in a pattern, and they come together to produce something which is pleasant to look at. You really appreciate this more with children. They have children, they come and they have all these projects, and they have beads, and they have the string to keep them busy for a couple of hours. You buy what?
A row of pearls.
Right, so it's not just all the same. There's no such thing as two pearls that are exactly the same, even though today, you know, they'll tell you there are, you get the same size. But the beauty in a necklace is you have different shapes of pearls, different color pearls, different types of pearls, and the arrangement is the yoifi of the necklace. It's a shura of pearls, each one a little bit different, and you position them exactly the right way, so that when you look at it, the way they interact, the way one balances out the other, the design, this is the yoifi, this is the beauty of a necklace. That's why a tor literally means a necklace according to the Mesudos, and that's how it's used in Shir HaShirim. Now here is a shocking pasuk. It's taking the word tor and it's applying it to a human being. A person, David is saying, you've made me into a tor ha'odam ha'ma'aloh. I'm like a necklace. I am like a person, an exalted necklace. It's exactly what it means according to the Mitzvot. It means nature. Not like Rashi who learns it means a shura. It means nature because what is a person? A person is a necklace. Every person has milas. You can't say there's a person. Every single person has pearls. He has a good midah here, a good midah there, a good thing here, a good thing there. But what separates the men from the boys, ordinary people from great people, is where all of the milos are arranged in a beautiful way, and they all interact, and they counterbalance, and they enhance one another. That's what makes greatness. Every person has pearls, but if you take all your pearls and you arrange them in an ugly way, it doesn't look nice. You could take $1 million worth of pearls and put on a necklace. It just looks like you bought it in the 25 cents, you know, and it comes out in the supermarket. But if you arrange it in a beautiful way, that's the milos. That's how David, that's what's called nature, personality, where all the pearls come together in a beautiful way. Now, what is so fascinating about this is, because in Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel, the same exact pasuk is a little different. Really should let me get to get a Sefer Shmuel very quickly. Okay, Shmuel Beis Perek Zayin. Okay, that I'm reading you pasuk. Okay, pasuk here it's in Shmuel Beis Perek Zayin. Vatikta an oid zoyz benecha Hashem Elokim. Vatzaber gamel al beis avduchol lemirachok. And it's a rhetorical question. Vizoyz toiras odom Hashem Elokim. Is this the toiras of man Hashem Elokim? Now, the same exact, this is what it says in Shmuel, is what it says, is contrasted to what we just read here in Divrei Hayom. In Divrei Hayom, it says, it's a statement, Uri Isani, you Hashem have viewed me, and I'll just take the words, Uri Isani Hashem Elokim, okay, I'm just taking those words, I'm putting it in the middle of the pasuk, you have viewed me Hashem Elokim, Kisor Ha'adam Hama'ala. In contrast, that word it says in Shmuel, Vatikdan oidzo, so on. The zois, toiras, ha'adam, Hashem Elohim. Is this the Torah, the law, Hashem Elohim? What does that mean? Let me read here what it says in the Mitzvot. Just pasuk yutes. The zois Let me first read you Rashi, because Rashi types the word here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim to mean a row. You have viewed me to be like one of the people who sits at the dais. So Rashi and Shmuel says, "V'zois toras adam bitnia?" Question mark. Roy lihis baser kain lebasar v'dam. Is it proper? Is it the right thing to announce, to reveal such a thing to a human being? In other words, according to Rashi, there is no similarity between the word Tor in Sefer Divrei Hayamim and the word Toiras in Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel, David is saying that, is this what you do for a man? Hashem, you've gone too far. Is this Torah means law? Instruction. How do we translate the word? We learn Torah every day. Go to Kailo. You're in Kailo. So what do you do in Kailo? You learn Torah. So what is Torah? How does the world translate the word Torah? Instruction. Hoira. From the word Hoira. Instruction. So is this the, or what else is Torah? It's called law. Because what is law? Law is instruction, depending on the way the word is used. So according to Rashi, the pasuk there means, look what you've done, Hashem. You've made me melech. You've made me melech, and you've given this brach of malchus to my children, my grandchildren, at Sef Kol Adaros. Is this normal? That's what he's saying. Hashem, is this normal? This is off the charts. Is this v'zois toras adam? Is it proper that you should, the law of what God is obligated to do for a mortal? You should give such incredible bracha to a human being? Now, according to Rashi, the word toras in Shmuel has nothing to do with the word tor in Sefer Divrei Hayam. They're two completely different words. Tor means a row. David and Sefer Divrei Hayam is making a statement. You have viewed me to be like a person who sits on the dais in what's in the stadium again? How can I forget the name of the stadium? MetLife. MetLife?
Yeah.
MetLife. And you, that's what it says there in Sefer Divrei Hayam. And here in Shmuel, Hashem, you've gone off the charts. So you've done too much. Okay, that's how Rashi learns. However, the Mitsudos is consistent, and the Radak as well. Let me read you the Mitsudos. The Zois Toras Adam. I'm reading from the Mitsudos David. Masha Dibartolai. This that you've spoken to me, Hitchunas is nature. The Toar Ha'odam Hagodol B'malo Hamiyuchod B'bnei Adam V'loy Techunas Adam Shafel V'nivzem Kimoini. Unbelievable. The Mitzudos David, and the Radak says Kamata. So let me do the Mitzudos, the Radak, then we'll explain. V'zoi is Torah Sa'adam, Techuna Sa'adam, nature of man, Kiloimar, Zo Shedibarat Yolai, this that you've spoken upon me, you've given me this incredible bracha, is Techunas, is really belongs to the nature of Ha'odom Hagadol, who of a great man, V'loy Odom, and not an Odom Shofel V'nivze, Kamoini. And then he goes on, Uchmoshen Ashe Omar, just like what it says in Divrei Hayamim, Mi Anochi, Mi Beisi, V'chim Divrei Hayamim, Risani Kisor Ha'odom Hamalo. Okay, so here, what he's doing something that is amazing, because the Mitzudos and Radak are coming to say the word Toiras in Sefer Shmuel means exactly the same thing it means in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Toiras has the Shosh of Tor. And the words here are, it's not a rhetorical question, it's the Zois. What you've done for me, Hashem, is Toiras. Ha'odam, the Hey Hayidi is critical, is what is deserving for the stature and the nature of a great person. Ha'odam, not an ordinary person like me. But if you're an Ha'odam Hagadol, then you deserve, and you have the Tehuna, the nature of the personality and the integrity, then all of this that you've done is deserving. What do we take out of this? We take out of this a new translation for the word Torah. We are brainwashed to translate the word Torah to mean instruction, hoira. That's what we've all been taught. And that's fine, that's correct. That's indeed how Rashi here learns. But there's another interpretation. Torah means nature. Torah means, what is nature in the context of the word Torah, which really means a row of pearls, a necklace. It means synthesis. Torah means there are tayag mitzvos. There is hashkafa. There is musar. There is recognition. There is history. There is recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is the creation of man. You know what Torah is? Take everything that I've given you, put it together, synthesize it, and produce something beautiful. Produce something like a necklace. That's what Torah is full of, many pearls. Tayag mitzvos, Bria sa'olam, Bria sa'adam, Hakar v'kadosh baruch hu, all of the stories of Tanakh which tell us Musar. Take every one of those pearls, arrange it in a beautiful way, integrate it, synthesize it, to produce something beautiful, something of stature, something of greatness. That's what Torah is. Torah literally means nature. And nature means synthesis of all of the parts that you have, everything that you contain. Okay, so this is an amazing thing to go and compare these two sukkim, Divrayam, Shmuel. Let's go further. Now we come to Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches says, "Ma Yosef Oy David Elecha." Now, for some reason, the Pasuk here changes expression, that David all of a sudden is talking in third person. He's not speaking directly to Hashem. He's making believe, depersonalization. You talk about yourself as if you are another person. My Yosef, you've done for me, Hashem, so much. You gave me the Malchus. And that was nothing in your eyes. That was the Sinai bonus. You gave the Malchus to my children for all generations. You viewed me to be an exalted person who sits on the dais, a person of high esteem and personality. My Yosef, I David Elecha. What more? Now you have to, there's a missing word in this pasuk. The word is lishol. My Yosef, I David lishol Elecha. That's how the first to explain. What more can I possibly ask? You gave me everything, and then he says something very interesting. L'chavoid es avdecha, to give honor to your servant. Now, if you're writing this pasuk, you're thanking a king for giving you everything. Someone, you go to a king, and he says, you will have no worries for the rest of your life. I guarantee you can have everything. Parnasa, good health, for you, your children, whatever you want to do. And then what do you say? What do you say? Thank you so much. You've given me everything. What more could I possibly ask? Would you say to the king, what more could I possibly ask for you to give me honor? Mm-hmm. It's a strange expression, to give me honor.
It's
what?
Rhetorical questions.
Extra words, in other words.
L'chavot. Mm-hmm. What does honor come into this? For many people, I know, I'm thinking about one particular person I know. I'm not interested in COVID. I'm just very practical. I need money. I need money. That's the main thing that I need. I need money to do A, B, and C, D. I don't need COVID. What do I need the COVID for? Just let me get by in life. David is saying, no, you need COVID. And in the art scroll, he really goes to town with this. He brings out this point. A person needs COVID in life. You don't realize. People who make believe and say, I just need money. I just have money. I can do what I need to do. I'll live my life. That's not the way it goes. You know, the person doesn't realize he already is receiving quite a bit of cover, recognition. And that's why he's fooling himself to think he just needs money to get by. Every person needs some degree of recognition, some degree of self-worth.
Self-esteem.
And the only way you have self-esteem is through your friends. If every one of your friends over and over says to you, you are nothing, you are nothing, you are nothing, eventually... Okay, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. If every day they pound away and say, you are nothing, you are nothing, you are nothing, then the end is, even the greatest of the great, I'm a nothing. And there's no self-esteem. When there's no self-esteem, all the money and all of the success is worth nothing. You need the proof. You know what the proof is? The proof is, look at the people who are very, very rich. What do they do after they're very wealthy? It's all about COVID. It's so true. Once you have what you need in life to get by, you know, you're established, then it's just a pursuit. Power. But what's the purpose of the power? Power is COVID. Power is mamish. Shloisha dvarim oitzines alim oilam. Kina taiva. It's a day. David here, David is brutally honest. See, David is emes. It's a scary pasuk. David is saying, at the end of the day, what is it all about? What have you given me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You've given me kavod. And what does a person want when everything is said and done? A person wants kavod. That's what a person really wants. And therefore, by Hashem telling David, you're going to be the melech. So you say, oh, I'm a melech. What am I, a melech? I'm just going to go and channel Klal Yisrael to do the Ritzoyin HaKadosh Baruch. I'm not going to take any kavod for myself. I'm just going to be, you know, sit in the background. I'm going to sit in the audience. It's not the way it goes. Melech is kavod. There's real kavod for a melech. There's real kavod. David here is brutally honest. This is a scary pasuk. It's a scary pasuk. If you were writing the pasuk, you would not write this. You would say, Uma Yosef Oy David Levakesh Neimcha. Right? Uma Yosef Oy David Levakesh Elecha Esavdecha. Chavoid. David is saying, all of the gifts that you've given me include within it honor. And honor is something which satisfies a person very much. And there's nothing more I can possibly ask for. I remember my Rebbe's Chaim Siegel, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So towards the end of his life, he really wasn't well at that time. He was not well. And they honored him, Chaim Berlin. They honored him, the Kollel Din, he was the guest of honor. And as you know, and especially there, everyone who's honored there at that dinner, the Kollel Din, they honored from like the Rosh Yeshiva, they honored like the Klei Kodesh. They're only honored by brute force. They basically sit them down in a straight chair, and they torture them. And they say, if you're not going to accept the honor, then you're finished. We're going to torture you. Because especially, remember, there was a person they honored, like, I don't know, not so long ago, and I saw they were honoring him. I couldn't believe the koyach of the person in charge. I was able to get this person to be, because this person is the last person in the world that would allow himself to be the guest of honor. And how in the world did he accept? Just mind, obviously, there's a person there who said to him, you have no choice. So, okay, even though you have no choice, I'll jump out the window. I do have a choice. I guess he didn't. Okay, but they honored him, so he spoke. And he spoke, he said, Kavod, I don't remember his speech, it was so many years ago, but he said something like, Kavod is not for this world. Olam Haba is the place of Kavod. Olam, that's the Olam HaKavod. In this world, there's no real Kavod. If you take Kavod in this world, it's like eating the cholent Erev Shabbos. Right? You prepare all the Shabbos food for Shabbos, and the pot, the cholent is on the stove, the kugel is on the stove, and you go into the kitchen Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, ah, it smells so good, let me sit down now and have a dish, a serving of cholent, a serving of kugel. That's not what it's for. The cholent and the kugel is being prepared to enjoy on Shabbos. To take kavod in this world is like eating the cholent, eating the kugel, Erev Shabbos Friday afternoon. It's not what? It's not the right thing. It's not the right thing to pursue kavod in this world. David here is brutally honest. David is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have given me a gift that really does not belong in this world. The gift of kavod is a gift that belongs in the next world, not in this world. And what could I possibly want more? What could I ask? You've given me something that doesn't even belong to this world. You've given me kavod, the gift of the next world. Yeah.
I'll tell you a word from the Scholar Rabbi of the show. He talked to us about kavod. He was at a chasna with, he was Masadik Kedushin, he was supposed to be Masadik Kedushin, at this chasna for his own son. And Rav Aaron Cotton, all of Hashem, was there as well. So he was Mechabed, Rav Aaron Cotton. So he turns to his son afterwards, says, Taki, in the same year, Kovid is a Shverazach in the belt. So why did Hashem make Kovid? He said, in order you should be Mechabed.
Oh, beautiful. Is there Mechabed, ha Mechabed? Who is the one that has true kavod? The one that is mechabed. Look, we ask. What do we ask for on our Rosh Chodesh? Chaim shel oisher v'chavod. So, what does that mean? Oisher v'chavod. Wealth v'chavod. So, the answer, like what you said, it's not that you, the oisher is zehu osher hamesamech b'chelko. What you really hasamech b'chelko. What you really asking for is happiness. You're not asking for money. Money doesn't bring happiness. You ask that what you have should make you happy. When you're asking for kavod, you're asking for the opportunity to be in a position where you have an opportunity to give kavod to someone else. That's the real kavod. So that's another idea which really is very powerful, what you're saying. You're saying something very deep, which really you can put into this pasuk. When David is giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevach V'Hoidah, he's saying, you've made me melech, you've given this... You've given me malchus. What am I going to do with my malchus? I'm going to use it to give kavod to other people. I'll be in a position to uplift people who are weak, who have no self-esteem. That's the kavod. That is the greatest gift. The greatest gift is to be in a position to make other people happy, to give other people honor. That's what you're saying, Mr. Rappaport. What more? Lichvoid, because you've given me honor. Not personal honor, you've given me a position of authority where I can give cover to other people. Look at the President of the United States, Lahavdil of others. Can you imagine the President of the United States, he calls you up, he says hello to you. It feels good, doesn't it feel good? Even if you're a Republican, you vote for him, right? The president, right? You take here any community here. I guarantee you, you take any community here in Flatbush, who every single member of the shul, every member of the shul, if you'll find the shul. I don't know people's political views, but let's say you'll find a big community here in Flatbush. Every single member of the shul did not vote for Obama. Did not vote for him. They voted. Not McCain, that's too much to go. Anyone but fine. And then all of a sudden there's an announcement in shul, Obama is coming for Shalosh Shuras. I'm not joking. Okay, Obama is coming. I guarantee you the shul will be so packed. People, they'll come from the other, they'll leave their vacation from the other end of the world to be by that Shalosh Shuras when the president, the motorcade, pulls up on Shabbos and the Secret Service, and in comes the, not those fake Obamas. The real Obama comes and everyone can be here, and they'll give him such covered malachim because the president is a person that gives covered. It's his position. What's the position? He has the koyach to give covered. When you're in his presence, you are a recipient of covered. It feels good. So what does that mean? If I'm receiving cover, I was there, and he looked at me, and I was part of it, I can go tell my friends, I can tell my family, and I was in the call. That means that the president is the one who gives cover. Ah, give cover, that's a very powerful, that's a tremendous brach. To be in that position, not that you take, but to give. Wow. That's really what David is saying. It's not a personal cover, it's a much higher level. It's to give cover. Okay, well, that we will conclude.